Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What a year. What a year for Wales.
I thought you were going to get into tedious observational comedy about what a bad slash good year it is.
Oh, I could. Are you about to?
Lots of people died.
Lots of people fucking die all the time.
Just more people maybe died this year.
No, more people didn't die this year.
Statistically speaking.
What do you know that we
Has no one paid attention that twice as many people died this year
Who's
than last?
Who's
Are
counting
we
that?
Dying?
Who's not showing their numbers?
Spain waiting on your numbers? Thing is, though, at the beginning of the year when the Hellmouth opened, we should have expected this, but no one's making that.
I was still planning for homecoming.
Yeah. But I'm Gavin Murphy. This is the IGN UK podcast. I'm joined by Daniel Krupa and Joe Screbble. We're going to go through... We've got an awards ceremony for you.
Yes, the IGN UK podcast awards
ceremony.
And as such, we got champers.
Well, what else we got?
£5 carver. But
we've got £5 carver. Fine. We're going to do an Ellen selfie later. we've had the red carpet. I'm wearing a jumper.
I was going to say it's just our two jumpers laid down.
This jumper is boiling.
Really, I'm going to take it off in a bit. It's a lovely jumper though. Merry Chimichangas, it says on it, because Deadpool.
Funny. That's funny. There's a reason they didn't do the chimichanga joke very much in the Deadpool movie.
No one knows what they are.
It's because it's not funny.
I like chimichangas.
They're nice.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people...
What's the difference between chimichanga and...
Here we go.
Is this how the Oscars starts? Yeah. I never usually watch it.
The first Oscars, yeah. This is what it was like.
Do you see who's
the
hosting
the three Oscars sitting around a table?
Oh, who's hosting this? Like Kimmel or Fallon? He revealed how much he's getting paid. He's only getting paid like a few grand.
Who?
Cheapskates.
Ooh. More than we're getting paid for doing this.
What?
Well, before we drunk
but
any.
Right now, that's the thing. You've got to start somewhere, lads. Like the fucking Razzies and shit. That started somewhere. Halle Berry turned up to them, wasn't you? Imagine Halle Berry sitting around. It'd be awkward. It'd be really awkward.
She'd like it.
Well, we're not talking about any of her fucking films.
She's getting the vibe.
She still make films?
If she was on, we'd talk...
She wouldn't have much to say in this podcast.
If Halle Berry was on this...
We'd talk about Monsters Ball. I would insist we talked about Monsters Ball.
I'd talk about one scene from Monsters Ball.
That had a big effect on me.
I was trying to think of another scene from Monsters Ball make that joke.
Never watched it.
It was just like,
to be fair,
I'd be like,
I don't think you've seen I don't think you've seen Monsters Ball in its entirety. I think you've seen a 3-minute clip hosted on another website.
And yet I've watched more of Monsters Ball than there is a running time.
Yeah. Okay, so 26, like, you can go anywhere on the internet and you can go to IGN to like figure out our best films, our best TV, or the best games of the year, which we've all decided. But we've got some alternative awards this year for different shit that we've enjoyed or not enjoyed. Because you put something in, I thought you didn't enjoy. But there we go, we'll come to that.
Well, exactly.
I'm going to kick things off with the I'm definitely not cool enough to be watching this award.
Yep.
And that goes to the TV show Atlanta.
Oh, what a show it is. Have you finished it yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God.
Because I'm not cool enough to watch it.
I was.
Not cool enough to... This jumper's coming off.
Here he goes.
Because I feel like that show, that there's like a clip that came out for that show.
Oh God, yeah.
Which was like a split screen kind of like, it's like a taster for what the show is going to be. It's kind of like a short film in itself.
It was a mood palette.
Yeah, and I think it's cut to that Tame Impala song that I really associate with that song now.
I don't even remember it.
Same old person, but make all the same mistakes. I'm going to take 50 minutes to take this jumper off. What I should have done is taking it off during somebody else's thing. But yeah. I feel like I'm going to be too hot by the time that happens. But anyway, Atlanta. So it's directed, written a lot by Donald Glover, which is really good.
And that music video director, whose name I can't remember. Someone Murai.
Yeah.
Who's apparently fantastic.
But it's kind of like a drama, like a 30-minute drama comedy set in Atlanta with like just weird shit going on. Yeah. But like... really, it kind of feels brave. It feels like a shite thing to say brave. But like, there's an entire episode which is like,
you know the definition of brave in 2016 is removing an Apple headphone jack. That was the definition of brave. That's a new level of brave. Because it used to be like sacrificing war situations and yeah. stuff.
Not now. But yeah, there's an entire episode, like a concept episode, which is like a talk show. And then in between the talk show, you get these adverts.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot about the adverts. Yeah,
like, and also, that comes out of nowhere. And it's not like... it's not even bookended by the show. It's literally just like, it's yes, a fucking thing.
You're watching a half-hour talk show set in the fictional universe that is Atlanta and with the rapper Paperboy.
Yeah, you watch four episodes and then you get an episode with like a sort of ancillary character who's kind of been in it, like the lady episode.
Yeah, she's a complete side character until that point, and then it's an entire episode focusing
about
on her. Just and what her... because I suppose, like, do you remember when Breaking Bad was on and people constantly, like... tedious fuckheads used to complain that Skyler White was a really annoying character.
Yes.
Like, it almost seems like it was designed to counter that, because she's constantly getting on Donald Glover's back and trying to,
really
like,
annoyingly so as
belittle
well.
Him.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like she's a foil in some way for his, like, his crap life.
Yeah.
And then you get this one whole episode where you're like, oh shit, she's got it really bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's horrible for her. And it changes
you. You kind of just go, she's the best character.
Yeah. And she's and it's bang on halfway through the series. So you suddenly have this, like, fresh opinion of her afterwards.
Yeah.
So clever. Like, just amazingly inventively written. And like you said, you pointed this out really early on, that it feels like it's set... in the real world, not TV world.
Absolutely.
Like, their use of social media all makes sense. Like, everything feels current.
Social media is one of the things, when it appears in TV, you can spot it when it's like just off.
Yeah.
Like, so often it's just like, it stinks.
Absolutely.
It's written by someone who doesn't actually quite understand it.
Yeah, like social media and technology, I always feel like, I think like there's a really famous bit in like Sherlock, which is like, that's obviously written by an old man. Because it's just like, he calls phones camera phones. And it's just like, what are you doing?
Jesus,
like, whereas this, in this, there's an entire sort of subplot to one episode where a guy is having like Snapchat beef, but it never feels like sort of crowbarred in. Because anytime someone says like Facebook or Snapchat or something like that, it kind of feels like it's being crowbarred in by someone who doesn't understand what that is, or doesn't understand what that medium is. Whereas this feels like it's done by people who live
smart.
In that thing.
People
that's
are cool.
Too fucking cool. That's
hashtags and life.
Yeah, they're too cool.
Hashtags and sexual.
I don't feel cool enough to even start this season.
You should. You really like it. It's
because that's the thing.
It's sad.
The only thing is as well, right? They're meant to be. He's meant to be kind of like a loser, but he's also one of the most beautiful looking losers in the fucking world.
Just so
like
cool
Tom
and
Holland
so funny.
Yeah. Tom Holland, Peter Parker, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, say what you like about, what was the first one called?
Tobey Maguire.
He at least looked like a fucking dweeb.
For a second, I forgot I'd taken my jumper off, and I was going to take my jumper off again.
Go on. Tops off.
Imagine if someone tuned in that uncorked on the table. Welcome. This is my award ceremony.
We get off, like, we go Christmas Day, open it up, emails from Pear. Just
you're all fired.
Get
all
out.
Fired.
But yeah, I'm going to give that award. I mean, essentially what we're doing is we're going through our favourite movies, TV shows and games, but without calling it that.
And it's also not bringing up all the, well, apart from
stuff
one, really obvious
else.
Stuff that we always talk about. Because it's more interesting.
Yeah, I can see which one.
Has to make an appearance.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the I'm definitely not cool enough to be watching this award, which goes to Atlanta. Joe?
Yes? Do I get to choose?
Award. Yeah. Anything you want,
I'm going to choose the game most likely to make you have a panic attack in front of people you've forgotten existed because of sheer groove. And that goes to Thumper.
Excellent.
So the best, like I've talked about Thumper on here before. I think it's one of the best games of the year. I think it's like bafflingly good. Yeah. I don't understand how it was ever made by two people. I don't understand why the guy from Lightning Bolt is making games in the first place. Everything about it makes no sense. The moment at which I was like, this game is just unbelievable, is one night, as we often do, drunkenly stayed behind to play games in the office. Yeah. And you'd stayed for a bit, but I think you'd left by this point. I was pissed out of my mind. We were showing VR to one of Alicia's friends.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember that night.
Yeah, and
that's something really.
Yeah, I don't know what you. Ugh, I don't know what you remember about remember that night. That I don't,
because you just said you'd left, and you were like, "Oh, I remember that night."
How?
It was one
you
of
left.
It,
killed a tramp on the way home.
I remember that. Yeah, that's the thing.
I
stayed just enough so like everyone else was drunker around me. So when the police called, they were like, "What was Gav doing last Friday?" And they were like, "Oh, he stayed with us. Like he was with us playing VR." For
it was
ages.
In the corner. It was in the corner. Yeah,
that gives me a fucking get out of jail free card.
Nice.
I know what I'm doing, lads.
So what? we were showing VR to one of Alicia's friends, and I eventually went, "Oh, you should have a look at Thumper. Thumper's great."
Yeah.
Not really remembering that it is still a really hard game, even
solid,
in VR.
Yeah. Especially so, if you're pissed.
Exactly. So I was like, So when someone, when they lost, I was like, "Give it to me, come on." And so I just sat there playing it, and I kind of played it for a bit and was really happy, and I was kind of getting into it, and I was properly like grooving away, getting into the, like, I really find myself like turning the corners with it, which I haven't done since I was playing like Tocker Racing when I was a kid. And suddenly I felt this tap on my shoulder, and Alicia's like, "Oh, we're going to shoot off.
It's Monday morning."
And I was like, "Okay." And she's like, "Yeah, you've been playing for 20 minutes. And I'd just been in one level of Thumper, just fucking like grooving so powerfully.
It's like Monday morning. She was like, "You're right."
Yeah. Perfectly awake.
It's like, "Only for the hardcore UK ravers." Like, "Are you right, Joe?"
But yeah.
Like, is this what Trainspotting 2 is going to be? Yeah. Just Joe sat on a chair.
Playing Thumper.
20 years later, it's still like, there.
Yeah.
There's two things about
Joe,
Thumper.
Joe, your baby.
It's like, like, you know when people talk about virtual reality?
And it's a little
reality?
Chrome Beetle.
People talk about virtual reality and they like make a joke and they go, "Oh, like Lawnmower Man." It is like Lawnmower Man. It's exactly like Lawnmower Man.
There's a giant evil head that comes screaming at your face.
So what?
That's the future I wanted.
It is like Lawnmower Man. But two, it's the only VR game I've played. Like, you know when you watch those fucking videos online that always go viral of like jabronis going, "Whoa!" And something like that when they're playing. Or fucking watch his chops, the snooker player falling over.
That is funny though.
When you watch those videos of those jabronis and you're like, "Grow up."
Yeah.
Like, get a fucking handle on yourself. Thumper's the only game that's made me go, "Whoa!" I'm playing it in by myself.
I'm flying at 200 miles per hour.
And we didn't film it. Yeah. We could have had one of those videos.
Content.
Could have had that video.
I could pay for our Christmas party. Yeah. Or snooker table elite.
Instead we're doing this.
Drinking £5 carver in the evening.
And a big Corona.
I mean, yeah. A big Corona. Yeah, so
there's too much to say about Thumper. But it's the only time this where I've actually fully lost myself in a game and had no idea.
The award for game most likely to make you have a panic attack in front of people you've forgotten existed because of sheer groove goes to, of course, Thumper. Daniel?
My first award is for the best film about xenolinguistics and nonlinear phenomenology you'll ever see.
Yes.
And it is Arrival, Denis Villeneuve's Arrival, which...
Best film of the year. Apart from Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Quite up there. I started doing a thing this year where if it's a film, like, we don't have to watch trailers far for work. So like a Marvel movie, a DC movie, I stopped watching trailers. Mm-hmm. So I knew next to nothing about this movie before me and Joe went to see it. Yeah. And I was just, breathtaking. And also to then think this guy is the guy who's going to direct the next Blade Runner movie.
Yeah, that's
And after
good.
Seeing this, like, yeah, all right. I'm on board for that.
That's it. I don't like Blade Runner, so I had no interest in it. Yeah. And now I'm like, well, it's a Denis Villeneuve movie, so I better go see it.
I just thought it was a brilliant procedural sci-fi movie. It's the best movie of... Because it's almost like it's a good companion piece. It'd be a good double bill with the first Independence Day. So it's aliens landing and hovering over global locations.
Yeah.
And this is more like, what will we do procedurally? How will we study them? How will we make contact?
Yeah.
And it goes down into like weird details about studying their language, which is fascinating. But when you first see that in the movie, you think, oh, that's kind of just a good bit of like design and it's a good bit of padding. And you realize suddenly that's central to the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's the whole point of the movie. And to have a movie that turns upon grammar as a massive like language nerd, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And he's also bringing up Sapir Whorf in a blockbuster. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable.
But then they do amazing things with it where they... Grammar is fucking boring. It sounds boring, even though I'm interested. But they make it emotional. They make that into an emotional plot point.
Yeah. Mm.
That is brilliant. And yeah, and also Jeremy Renner's not shitting it.
Yeah, that's really good.
So what's more surprising... Well, I'm just glad he's not saying sexist stuff anymore.
The thing that I really liked about it is just like, I think the as you say, like the central idea of it is because all these, so if you haven't seen it, 12 alien pods arrive in 12 different cities, and I really like the idea that basically all these different 12 countries or 12 cities are working together, but also kind of working separately as well to try and sort of communicate with them. So it's all about that. So it's like, I love the idea of different countries in different ways trying to communicate with them. And I think like the really cool bit where there's so many bits in the film where you just go,
a big part of the movie is the concept that is quite widely recognized in linguistics is language determines consciousness.
Yeah.
So the way that you process the world is the way that your mind works. Mm. So Native American Indians have a different past tense than we do. So for them, the past is also kind of present.
Yeah.
So that's why their ancestors that have died kind of live on as spirits, but in kind of a practical sense.
You know, they don't know if the ancient Greeks could see the color blue.
Yeah, I do know that.
Because they always describe the sea as wine dark.
Yeah, like Homer and stuff.
It's amazing.
But also plot point in that movie is some of the nations on Earth use a certain lexicon to describe interaction that means friendship is beyond their comprehension.
Absolutely.
Because they merely put it in terms of a winner and a loser.
Absolutely,
And the way that the word tool can also mean weapon.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is fantastic. Mm. And it's also heart-wrenching. And it's kind of weird to say, like, it's Nolan-esque, but it does that thing that I like, where the end of the movie kind of reconfigures in this beautiful way. And you're like, And I think saying twist is... It's misleading and twist. But it's for want of a better word for most people, it's this moment where it kind of just turns, like the literary term, back in epiphany, where you see the movie more clearly and something beautiful happened there.
It's like a turn of the lens.
Yeah.
It's just everything suddenly comes into focus.
That's a really good way of
describing it. And everything just goes bam.
Yeah. And the human moment clarity and the human reaction is you sat next to me going, "You fucking beautiful bastard."
I'm like,
and Kruber going,
and people from Empire going, "Shh, lads, come on now, pay respect."
No, like,
sure, if people Empire, they would turn up a fucking hour late coming in.
That wasn't them.
It doesn't matter.
Journalism facts do not matter.
No,
because if 2016 we exist in a post-truth society.
To be fair, I didn't like their Rogue One review, so that's what that was about in my head. So.
Because
it's shite. So the award for best film by Xenia Linguistic and Longlinear Phenomenology goes to
Arrival.
Excellent.
Oh.
So my next award,
all right, this is coming off,
goes to the video game which most resembles the inside of my guts. And that award goes to
Minesweeper.
Inside.
Are we getting into spoiler territory with that?
Yeah, fuck it.
I don't think we can.
Really? What's the moratorium on that? Like, come on.
That feels good.
Can I just spoil?
No, I think you were really good about Arrival.
No, we didn't. Arrival, we didn't spoil Arrival.
No, I need to see that clock. Now, for the next 10 minutes, I don't know what time is.
Fine.
But does
be going on.
We last time!
Literally.
Drunk comes in, draws a big X across the table.
Isn't that strange, though? Like, I literally don't know what the time is now.
Just to clarify for the listening, me and Joe throw our jumpers on the clock.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, for the next 10 minutes, like, anything is possible.
Do you know what I've just thought?
I didn't start drinking that early. Yeah. Like,
did New X-Files...
That is a weird conversation.
Did New X-Files come out this year?
Yeah, it did.
Jesus, we should have an award for how shit that was.
Well, no, because this is all... I mean, it's pretty much like positive stuff.
I always thought my favourite things.
Yeah, which I really like. So yeah, the game I'm which not. Most resembles the inside of my guts... is Inside. So basically, like, I broke up with a girl, which if you've listened to this podcast, you know a lot, and you know a lot about.
Yes.
Because I mention it every 2 seconds. But I basically broke up with a girl. 2 days later, or 3 days later, I started playing Inside because everyone was going on about it. So I was like, okay, I lock myself in my room and be sad and play Inside. And it was like pretty much a black and white game. Is it black and white?
No. Black
and
white. Well, it's
in my head, it's black and white.
It's like muted with bright reds.
But yeah, I mean, it's a really dark game, and there's no dialogue. There's no like narration or anything like that. You've got to unpack the story for yourself. And but with these puzzles and stuff, you have absolutely no idea what's going on. And it was also, I played it early enough, so there was no guides or anything like that out there, which that was a big part of it, because there was so much of it that I was like there's a couple of points where I was just like, this is broken.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was very well done.
See, no, I was like, this is broken in the sense of like, I've got an early version. There's a glitch. Yeah. There was a couple of points. There was one bit where I was like, I was so stuck. I was just like, it's a glitch. It must be a glitch.
Both of me and Cooper are casting glances at you, like, no.
But also, I'm just imagining this sensitive situation you're in.
Absolutely.
You're in a sensitive place.
This is what
locked in your own room.
This is what I'm saying. The game which most resembles the inside of my guts. I was like, there's a glitch. There's a glitch in my life.
Come on.
There's a glitch in this.
There's a small Scandinavian boy searching for truth.
Yeah. But like, there was one bit where I was so stuck. That I was just like, it must be a glitch. But then I was just like, it's the actual thing for it is so simple, and you click with it and you're just like, oh, you idiot, that's fine. And the elation that I felt from clicking with it, I was just like, maybe everything's gonna be alright.
Oh, that's so nice. Like,
and that's why it's the game which most resembles the inside of my guts.
It's also very interesting that you brought up puzzle solving as the thing, because I think amidst there is a very surprising ending and it's an amazing kind of story that you're trying to piece together.
Yeah.
People just forgot it was a fantastic puzzle game.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Such a good puzzle game.
Like that. This doesn't recycle ideas heavily.
Beautifully well drawn, like gives you new ideas. Yeah, exactly. As you say, you'll just get one section of like, here's a mechanic.
Yeah.
Right, it's gone. Like, here's a submarine for a bit, especially for no reason at all.
Especially if it's a 3-4 hour game.
Yeah.
If you're repeating ideas in that, you need
it's
more
boring.
Meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Go back to the drawing board. Right?
Reminds me of one of the best recent indie games of all time. Which makes no sense as a sentence, but Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, which did the same thing.
I haven't seen that.
Oh my god, it's genuine. It's like one of the best games I've ever played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it does the same thing where it's just not only is it Scandinavian, beautiful, heartbreaking, it's also got
they've
that
got
thing
that down, haven't they?
They're very good.
We need to keep.
Well, you know, like in recent years, like the Scandinavia like output across different medias really like
they get
it's
it.
Banging.
Do you think anyone Scandinavian is listening to this and going like? Literally, we've been doing this for fucking 10 years. Yeah. It's only because The Killing came out. Now you're looking up yeah. over here.
No, but like so many stuff.
Right, they're doing
saying
good
that,
stuff.
Saying
you
that.
Think they're pissed off about that?
Yeah. Maybe they're not just eating fucking ice. Choc ice is
killing themselves.
Because like, I was just going to say, another thing that in recent years, like the world renowned for is choc ice. No. In recent years, one of the things they're really well renowned for is food. Like so many 3 Michelin star restaurants are in like Denmark and Sweden. And the other day I was watching Rick Stein, this is a bit of a tangent. I was watching Rick Stein, who had like a weekend break in Copenhagen. And their whole food philosophy is like they go foraging and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
I look fucking disgusting. there's one that's like
me and
my girlfriend were watching it, and he was describing this meal to Rick Stein, who was eating it, and he goes, yes, the green stuff on the top is last year's pea flour.
Is it?
What?
Well done,
Rick. Last year's pea flour. That sounds fucking gross, mate.
Moss. Just eating moss.
Yeah.
This is another tangent, but you're having it. I went to Australia once and went to Rick Stein's restaurant because I was like, oh, we should totally go to Rick Stein's restaurant.
Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he keeping an eye on that?
So it's like, we'll go here. Went there and we walked in. They were like, oh, sorry, we're all fully booked. And we were like, oh, that's annoying because like the people I was with, like, well, also I live in England as well. I was like,
I know, Rick.
I was like, oh, we've come all the way from England, where obviously Rick has most of his restaurants. They were like, oh my god, oh, 2 seconds, and they were like, yeah, table 10 minutes later.
How, I don't understand the logic of this.
First up, what made you think that was going to work? Secondly,
what
are these damaged people?
I remember Chalky's little dog before he died.
What made me think it was going to work is I always think the shit I say is going to work.
That's
and
insane.
But that's 80% of the time it does.
But also, I would say that's the reason it works rather than the content of what you say.
Yeah. Well, that's
the way I say it.
That's the confidence. Okay, but it's a marriage. It's not one or the other. But the fact that you believe it.
Where Darren Brown gives people bits of paper and says it's money.
This is the winning form.
Yeah, like, yeah. I am Rick Stein.
I am Rick Stein.
Okay.
So I am Chalky the dog.
One more tangent. Have you seen that video of Rick Stein using a mandolin?
Yep.
So funny.
I haven't.
Do you know what kind of mandolin is on about?
No.
The slicing
one. It's like a super sharp grater. And it's him talking about how...
Like he was playing a mandolin.
So what you did, it's like slicing like that. And it slices incredibly thin. And he's talking about how dangerous it is and how only professional chefs should use it. Oh, and he's just talking about this and suddenly he just goes, ah, fuck!
They're like so super dangerous. Like you could take your whole finger off.
It's so funny.
It's the
funny.
Thing that you used to like slice meat and shit. Right?
And like no, like really like fine vegetables. That, like, it's the same principle. Okay, right. Yeah.
It's so funny. So yeah, the dramatic
and then
irony
it comes
of
back
it.
To him with a big blue pasta on.
Yeah.
Okay, so the game which most resembles the inside of my guts.
It's Rick Stein.
Is Rick Stein's inside? Krupa, I'm gonna go to you next. Mix it up.
Okay, so I'm gonna go for my TV show.
Okay.
So it's the best TV show, best show on TV that no one ever talks about or raves about, but secretly it's the best. And it's The Americans on FX. So in a year of like, that's the thing that happens with TV more than anything, I think. Like people like really hype it. Like Westworld, people really hype.
That's
like,
my fucking head in.
Like the new show is like, are you watching it? You watching it? Yeah, well, I watch loads of stuff. But are you watching it? And it gets like, it gets unbearable. But no one ever talks about The Americans. If you go,
people are fucking boring, man.
And like, I know Metacritic obviously is not the be all and end all, but like in the last 4 years, Americans has been the highest rated show on Metacritic for the last 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, it's or at least
guaranteed,
top
like,
two or three.
When it gets to the, like the last series, is it the last series yet? No. Guaranteed when it's like that, fucking BuzzFeed will do some kind of
like Breaking Bad,
thing
like,
about
like,
it,
like the
and
thing,
everyone
like,
will start bumming it.
Claim. So
it'd be like The Wire. Everyone's like, "Oh, you've seen The Wire."
It's just great, and I started watching. Like, I'm not even up to date, but I started watching it for the first time this year because I just ran out of stuff to watch, and I got an Amazon Prime subscription. It's all on there.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Like, production on it's amazing. So,
what is
the,
it?
The setup
you should
is
talk about it.
There's a husband and wife
yep.
in the 80s in America. They live just outside of Washington. And they're both travel agents, but they're also secretly Russian spies.
What?
Whoa. So, it's kind of like, you know, it's very good on a week by week basis because they do missions.
Do they have fun scenes where, like, the boss comes over for dinner and the wallpaper keeps falling down? And it's got, like, big pictures of, like, Putin
Lenin
on the back.
When just like, yeah. like the boss goes over there. I was thinking about Third Rock from the Sun when the big giant head calls.
Exactly.
No, it's like, what are we having for dinner? Borscht? No. Fried chicken?
Definitely not borscht.
Definitely not going to catch me like that, are you?
Gesundheit.
But that's actually quite early on. Their next door neighbour does work for the FBI.
What?
So,
whoa.
It's a bit of a contrivance, but actually it works pretty well.
Yeah.
So it's really good on an episode by episode basis because they do missions. But they've also got like two kids.
Yeah.
And
American kids.
Yeah, they were born in America.
Are they the actual kids?
They're their actual kids.
Russian
and
blood,
also,
American
these
heart.
These two secret
right.
agents who are married, like early on, like they're just together. They weren't in a relationship before they moved to America. So that's a big dynamic in the show is the fact they don't really love each other. But they've had to like sleep together and have kids.
Who is it? It's Kerry Turner.
And Matthew Rhys.
I like him.
So do I.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
And Frank Langella in it as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So that's superb. But also there's the overarching thing of like what they're trying to do on a bigger sense.
Right, okay. Which is what? So they're baddies?
They're baddies, but you really like them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they
to be fair,
they
like baddies in America. That's fucking...
But that's the thing, they fully believe what they're doing. And it's like...
They're all bad.
Everyone's doing bad shit. But they...
in America.
But you obviously spend all your time with them, so you're kind of rooting for them a lot.
Do the kids know that they're spies?
No.
Mm. It sounds like all the bits from Mad Men that actually sound good, but
well,
I'll never watch because I have to
thing
watch
is,
the rest
of Mad
Men.
Kind of, it's got a
sense. Mad Men's amazing.
It's yeah. Right, so it'd be way opera. Too much to say it's as stylish as Mad Men. No show is quite as stylish as Mad Men, but it has a lot of style to it.
That's good.
But it's also very exciting as well. Like, it balances the drama and excitement really well. Because there's a lot of action in it.
Hmm.
But it's quite... And it's some fucking hard stuff as well. Like, it's not light. Like, it's like a 15, 18. Like, there's scenes of torture. But, like, they're also killers. They go murder people. They, like, they took the kids in and, like, oh, we're popping out for a drink.
How much full
and
frontal kill. Male...
There's a lot of nudity in it.
Is it male?
Yeah, because a lot of the way that they coax information out of people...
It's
like sleeping with people. But they, like... They all have, like...
Matthew Rhys is going, like, where are the coats?
I'll show you it.
All right.
Got Motherland written down it.
I'll put a ball of sweet up it.
What's that?
I said friendly once did.
What? Stop the podcast.
I want to get
right,
off.
Explain everything about your friend putting a board sweet up his dick.
Well, it's no.
It's right. You've got another couple of seconds before I know what time it is. So.
This is good air.
Yeah. Although we're also in a situation now where you know what time it is and I don't know what time it is.
You take bets on how many boiled sweets you can get up it.
How many?
Yeah.
They're big.
That means multiple.
Or a sarsaparilla drop.
What's that?
Anyway,
that's gonna...
You know, a sarsaparilla drop.
Oh, they're very
cough
nice.
Drop.
Tastes like root beer.
Do you know like sarsaparilla?
I love it.
Sarsaparilla is brilliant.
Is it like...
Not after it's been up.
Anyway,
we're talking more about that later.
The Americans.
Yeah, it's exceptional. You should watch it.
I'm gonna.
So that's the award for best show on TV that nobody ever talks about or raves about, but is secretly the best. The Americans.
Mm.
Joe, your second award, what's it going to?
I'm going to go with Guiltiest Laughter,
okay,
which goes to the short-run comedy series Flowers. Excellent. On Channel 4, which no one really talked about, but is incredible. So it's Julian Barrett and Olivia Colman, both amazing, being sad people, but with the funniest family dynamic. So their son is... Who's that guy that played Eric Morecambe in the Morecambe and Wise... They did like a biopic of them. He was incredible as Eric Morecambe. Like, just exactly the same person. It's him as like this baffling idiot inventor.
Yeah.
And then their sort of Kate Bush like mad daughter. And just this broken family trying to deal with everything. The first episode starts with Julian Barrett's character trying to kill himself and failing, and his mother seeing. And then essentially everything comes from this, like, him just desperately trying to cover up the fact that he's suicidally depressed in his family.
Right.
But his family's... Everyone is hilarious.
It's a comedy series.
It's a comedy series.
Is it like a... Is it shot like a sitcom, or is it like a really offbeat sitcom? Is it more kind of like...
So it's got really, really strange, like, funny, like, absurdist elements, but it's shot like it's a drama. Okay. So it's got some of what Atlanta has, where you're kind of watching,
it's
Channel
4, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then something happens and you just go, shit, right,
yeah,
that's really weird. So the guy who wrote and directed it, I think he's called Jamie Sharp, plays their Japanese manservant. He is part Japanese, so it's fine. But it constant. But the reason...
We're going to get the guiltiest laughter.
Well, this is it. The guiltiest laughter is, number one, you're laughing at essentially a man who wants to die constantly.
Yeah.
And also, he's like... Very, in anyone else's hands, definitely racist portrayal of a Japanese manservant. He is so funny. I cannot explain to you how good he is. And just like, you're just constantly feeling terrible.
How racist is it?
Like, if one of us was to do an accent.
So, like, a thing that...
Because it's not racist, because he is Japanese.
It didn't make the cut this year. Because we've also got
we've got a couple of
like last awards for best things ever, and it didn't make the cut, but because it was last year, but it would have. Is a comedy Bang Bang.
Oh my god, the call to China.
Where comedy Bang Bang pretends that it's basically the cast of
Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah.
Pretending to be
Chinese,
the physical embodiment of China,
yeah,
on the phone to the sum of comedy Bang Bang and Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Is that racist?
It is funny, but
I think it is quite
racist. I showed it to a girl and she went, "That's one of the most racist things I've ever heard."
And like, it's...
And I didn't realise it was racist.
No, and neither did I. And then it was telling that when we played it
in the office,
and someone in the office of Asian extraction was there.
Yep.
We were very self-conscious. Really, yeah, bad.
Did we?
Well, you weren't there, Gav, so you're all right. And then we played it very loud in the office one night.
I'm not racist. All right, well, that's the award for guiltiest laughter then.
You've got to watch Flowers. Also Fleabag.
Flowers and Fleabag. That's really good.
Yeah. Watch Fleabag too.
All the okay. My last award is going to best use of a box cutter. And that's for Green Room.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen it.
In memory of Anton
Yelchin as well. Yeah.
God, I forgot he was in that.
Last films. It's generally, I think it's probably my favourite film of the year. But that's not the award it's getting. It's getting the best use of a box cutter.
You seen Joe?
I haven't.
There's a use of a box cutter.
That's fine. It's not going to stop me watching, knowing how someone gets hurt.
It's a very small part of it.
Yeah, and it's also a brilliant point. It's not a spoiler. Like,
it's so basically...
What a brilliant film that is.
A horrible, like a shitty hardcore band. They go to play basically like a neo-Nazi club. They don't realise...
It's like miles from nowhere. It's like in the middle of a forest.
Yeah.
It's maybe from Arrested Development, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're like a touring punk band. And they go to this place and they realise it's neo-Nazis. And there's like a really weird scene where they play like... they realise what it is and they play a song which is like, "Nazi skinheads, fuck you."
Yeah, it's the Dead Kennedy song, isn't
it? Yeah,
yeah. Nazi punks... Fuck off!
That's
something.
Right. Yeah. So they play that straight away, and then, but then there's like it's kind of weird because like they kind of win the crowd back over a little bit because they play like a really really cool hardcore song.
Okay.
And it's like it's shot beautifully as well. So it's the guy who did
Blue Ruin,
yeah, which I think is one of the best films like in the last 10 years. Maybe it's so good.
I know you like that film so much.
Oh, I love it so much. But yeah, it's the same guy who did that, and he shoots like really dark, horrible stuff. But there's a scene where they're playing music, and I can't stand any of the music in the film. It's not for me at all. Like, absolutely not. But there's a scene where they play a song, and they kind of win the skinheads over, and it's shot so lovely, like, considering it's like a disgusting neo-Nazi club.
They win over the skinheads and Gav.
Yeah. And but then, yeah, basically, for reasons that you'll see, they get stuck in the green room in this bar. And
Patrick Stewart turns up.
Then it becomes like
it's an escape movie.
It becomes like an escape or like siege movie.
I love it. It's like it's a one location movie.
Yeah,
they're stuck in this like rock club and they have to get out.
Yeah, and it's like this. It's really good because it kind of plays on like the sort of tropes of like an escape movie as well. But there's a really really good girl in it who's actually in Popstar Arrival as well. She's Ashley Wednesday.
Ashley, so cool.
Ashley Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, like, she completely like fucks over any trope as well, because anytime they try to get like really corny, she messes it up, which I think is really really good. But yeah, there's also like she uses a box cutter in a very interesting way
I saw
in a full cinema, like a really small screening room as well, so maybe like 100 people, and like 3 people walked out.
Jesus Christ.
Like, is
also there's another bit in that movie which is equally
this is some fucking tough shit in particular.
I was thinking of that. I was in a tiny screen room, like 20 people, but I imagine people walking out of the other bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was watching it with 5 people, so.
Coolest. No one walked out because they were psychos.
I watched it in PSVR and now I am the film.
But yeah,
I am the green room.
I am the green room. But yeah, so my award for the best use of a box cutter, which is essentially what my favourite film is, my favourite film of the year is Green Room. Joe,
yeah,
your final award, please.
Best new, completely unnecessary post-Marvel Cinematic Universe Inception goes to 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Boom!
A film which was A-okay and not a lot more.
I didn't think you liked it.
I liked it. It was just like it didn't do everything I wanted it to do for me. But
to be fair, I'm saying you didn't like it because I came out and I was like,
you were buzzing.
I really fucking liked that film. But we should watch with you, right?
Mm.
Yeah, good.
But everything needs to be
good.
That's it. Let's get that sorted.
What do you think?
Squared away.
Good. But watch it with you.
No, do you know what though? Like, that's the fucking mind of an alky where I'm just like, I was with you, right? Because otherwise, I don't know, fucking like, Jeremy Renner.
Guys,
if it wasn't you, it was Renner.
Guys, was I safe?
Yeah.
Did I have clothes on? Did I jump on?
Did I look like I was having a good time?
What did my insides look like? Did I have any boiled sweets?
You had
a quarter of pineapple cubes.
So the award for best new comedy and necessary post-Marvel Cinematic Universe Inception. Why?
10 Cloverfield Lane. It's because I may not have liked it as much as everyone else, but in this current climate where everything has to be a universe, so it's not sequels anymore. It's the, what's the Universal?
Shared universe.
No, it's what's the monsters one?
Well, it's just the universe
such
monsters.
Such a boring, like this constant idea that everything has to cross over with everything
that.
Else.
It's like, I really like the original Universal Monsters films a lot. Like, it's the thing I was really into. Mm. I'd be so happy if they just made really good standalone movies with interesting directors. It doesn't benefit, but I can see from marketing they go like, oh, because it means if you watch that one, you watch another
one.
You
like another one, yeah.
But as DC's shown, in the wrong hands, it means that half your film ends up being a setup for other films.
Yeah, also you can contaminate.
Fair, you can say that a lot about Marvel films, man.
Yeah, like, to an extent, but I do feel like they at least have...
The quality is kind of there. Like, they're usually pretty good. Because also the upside is like, you with Marvel, it's like, if you do one good one, you raise something else up.
Yeah.
If something's crap, you contaminate your other stuff.
Yep.
Because if something's crap, then you're like, holy shit, this one's got really good out. Like, and especially if you've got like maybe two of the, like, if you haven't got Captain America and Iron Man going like in the same year or within months of each other, then like, you've got to be thinking,
the insane popularity of Deadpool, Fox will be going, oh, let's hitch everything to him now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that will have this like distorting effect.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, yeah.
But this is the thing, like 10 Cloverfield Lane might not have done what I wanted it to do as a film, but it sets up a universe where I actually give a shit about what they're trying to do with those films, because they at least share one facet of the Marvel thing, which is try new interesting directors, so Dan Trachtenberg in this case, and try new genres. Like Cloverfield and 10 Cloverfield Lane are functionally different films.
Because even though that apparently that film is retrofitted
to
be a Cloverfield, like,
if their whole model for that universe is just like smaller, like smaller budget films that are kind of a bit different, that's cool.
Have you heard what next year's one is?
The God Particle one.
That's
not been junked, maybe.
So it was revealed to be probably a Cloverfield film.
Right.
And then they removed it from their release schedule and on the same day put a new Cloverfield film in its place.
Yeah. But I'm totally fine with them. Like, if they can say to you and directors, like, you want to make this concept movie, just give us a few lines to tie it in with the thing and then you fucking go for it.
But those,
because that film,
you're making an alien movie, make your alien a Cloverfield alien.
Like, you could watch, I'm going to say, like,
but we'll, happens, and we'll give but, you like, 20 million more like, for effects.
Yep. You can watch 10 Cloverfield Lane as a film that doesn't exist in the Cloverfield universe.
It would be better if you hadn't seen Cloverfield. Like, that's kind of its deal.
Absolutely,
like,
it would be
I wasn't the thing that
holy shit, imagine if you hadn't seen Cloverfield, it wasn't called 10 and it was all exactly. called 10 Cloverfield.
You would lose your mind at the end.
The thing that annoyed me was I knew what the ending was from the title is a spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, and that's annoying, but I'm kind of fine with
the least surprising thing is that bit.
Exactly. Yeah. But that idea of like, let's just make different films every time and they just happen to be set in the same place. Like God Particle's synopsis, which is a load of people on a space station see Earth disappear.
Mm.
It just blinks out of existence. And then another European spacecraft starts coming towards them and they don't know whether they can trust them or what's going on. That sounds like a fascinating sci-fi movie.
Hello there.
And now, I want to know why that's in the Cloverfield universe as well. Everything is serving
I'm very on board with that being like an annual event.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
As a banner term, like, it's like Twilight Zone. Like, some will be hit and miss, but the good ones will be really good.
But it feels like that's less cheap than going, Dracula and Frankenstein in the same universe, by the way.
Yeah.
Like,
also, have you heard what they've said as well? Like, they also exist in a universe where Dracula doesn't exist as a popular character.
Brilliant, that's good.
And it's just like,
that's some fucking balls, man. Or at least, like, because the thing is, like, even though we're saying, retrofitting is okay, like, if you're a young director and you've got a cool idea for a movie, okay, we're going to make that movie, okay, how can we make that into the Cloverfield universe? Like, that actually doesn't sound like it would be good.
Mm.
But, like, in the same way, when it's like a multi-million-pound thing and it's Dracula, like, and then you just go, is it good? Oh, it's not good. They didn't like it.
But,
right? He's not in the universe anymore.
But also, there's something fundamentally about that property that is not action-orientated. The worst thing about that book is when people are running around trying to kill stuff. The best thing is when you're in someone's house
and
you're staying as a guest. Like, they don't work as action movies.
Yeah.
Because who are you rooting for? Like, they want the monsters to carry over to be a team. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
are you just going to have, like,
a team,
like,
against who?
Loads of hero. What are they doing?
Yeah, to be fair, like, Al asked me in the pub the other day, he was just like, will you generally defend anything else? And I was like, no, I generally won't. Like, if I don't like something, I don't like it. And he was like, what about Dracula Untold? I was like, that's one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen. Like,
also, just really, really, really pointless.
Yeah.
And like,
boring.
Dumb. Like,
boring.
Yeah.
Like, but I think you say, like, action. Why are they making it action? Like, the I Frankenstein thing. Like, why
Dracula's
does that
an
need
action
to be
hero?
An
is
action
that,
hero. Like,
it's nuts.
Bonkers. Like, absolutely bonkers.
That's why Cloverfield's good.
Yes. So the award for best new completely unnecessary post Marvel Cinematic Universe Inception, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Daniel.
All right. So you said pick your favorite thing of the year. So I've picked my favorite thing of the year.
But I said hide it underneath an award thing.
And
so we don't have to call it that.
And it's called My best game is about a talking gorilla, a robot ninja, and a Brazilian DJ.
And don't forget the most unrealistic thing of all time, a lesbian.
A British lesbian.
A British lesbian. What? Excuse me.
He doesn't know. Imagine if he just really was a disgusting human. He's just like, she's what?
Suddenly revealed.
Who's that? Jilly Cooper.
Who's that? Reinhardt. Reinhardt's a fucking lesser.
Because it is. Is Overwatch, which obviously has become a thing on the show, we talk about it a lot, but I'm not going to talk about the game in specific, so it's alienating, but just in general, like, I remember early in the year, being very honest, we were asked to do a live stream of Overwatch, and I paid it no attention whatsoever, and we all kind of like played it a little bit, and we're like, we've played it enough that we can play it on a live stream, and we kind of bumbled our way through it. It was like, oh, this is fun, it's all right.
Yeah.
I knew not very much about it, I had not paid attention to it, I didn't play any other Blizzard games. He's played StarCraft a bit back in the day. And if you told me at the beginning of the year my favourite game this year would be an online multiplayer shooter,
yeah,
I told you to fuck off.
Yeah.
Because you'd be a liar. And it absolutely is.
Dude, even
is.
Worse than that, like,
absolutely is. I can't
remember
when
we did that fucking unboxing? Like, you're one of my best friends, but like, we probably fell out a little bit doing that. Yeah. Let's pick, doing the unboxing. So I was like, one, and then I do an unboxing. But I was like, I don't even know what this game fucking is.
We don't know enough about it. And now,
I was like, I don't know what this game
and
is.
Now,
why
now,
am I gonna do this?
Now,
like,
suddenly in my head, I have so much information about this thing a year ago I knew nothing about.
Yeah. I wish we could go back and do that unboxing now and just be like, oh my god, look at this fucking postcard.
You wanking off. Gav's got a chub on, hasn't he?
Even the fucking soldier model, which
actually,
is
that's
bullshit.
Really cool. Actually, like, now I'm like, I'm going to put on my desktop. Yeah.
we've all got given.
I played 20 hours playing soldier.
Like we all got given those, like, the special edition. I was just like, I'm
but also, also think,
put it
like, but also, we went to the launch party of Overwatch, and there was like a real life tracer running around. Man, when now?
Yeah.
She was quite a crap tracer, though.
Although, to be fair, we'd be like, what would you do? You've got to try and get off of there, because that's a wasted night. We don't know.
But like, we've played that every lunchtime.
It's so good.
All of us.
I haven't played as much as you guys because I didn't play lunchtimes. But
genuinely, like, I think approaching 95% of our lunchtimes since May.
I've been playing
Overwatch. Nothing else. We don't go out.
Like, we don't
make friends
any
with anyone
games.
Else in the
like,
office.
Also, like, we stay sometimes after work and play until, like, the other day after our Christmas party, we came back to the office.
2 a.m.
And we stayed till 2 a.m. playing it.
Yeah.
Like, phenomenal. What an incredible game. And also, like, the variety in that game comes from just what happens in that game.
Yes.
There's actually not that many maps.
Mm. It doesn't matter.
And there's two modes, essentially.
It kind of feels like it doesn't matter.
Two and a half. And that doesn't matter because it's like sport. And it sounds really wanky. But it is. It's like every match is different. And
yeah,
like,
no one's playing FIFA and going, this is fucking boring.
Same again, yeah.
No
one
same
modes. Pitch.
But we took out indoor mode from 95.
It was amazing.
It was really good.
We
no, was it 98? 98, yeah. 98.
And we actually had our best match the other night. Like, my best moment was like, we were 2-0 down in a competitive. We came back for 3-2. And it's the first time, like, we ran up and hugged each other.
We pushed over our chairs.
Yeah. Because it was like the elation. It was like we won the World Cup, essentially.
Mm.
And it was brilliant. And no game has done that. And yeah. Fair play.
It's genuinely... It's
well done, Jeff.
Maybe the best I've ever felt playing a video game. Like, what? Actual sense of achievement for doing something.
What about the... Did it make you feel like this was inside your guts, though?
Did it validate me?
Yeah, did it validate...
It definitely validated me.
Did it validate your guts?
I actually thought I was good at something.
Genuinely, as someone who joined this team this year,
yeah,
it has fundamentally helped me become a part of the team.
So here's your guts.
Like, it's right up in my guts.
This is good. I want to carry on.
That's
guts.
Lovely.
No, but like, it's a we're all very good friends, and there's no way that we'd be as good friends if it wasn't for the fact that I occasionally scream at you and rage quit because of Overwatch.
Yeah, I think we should also say a little going bit. You probably get the most agitated.
I'm very
Overwatch.
Bad for that.
Yeah,
because also,
and I don't get like that with anything else.
Also, some times, like, because that's the thing with Overwatch. It's like, if you don't play it in the right way, you'll get absolutely punished.
Yeah.
And sometimes people kind of lose their heads a bit, maybe, and like, kind of like not pay attention to what they're meant to be doing. Joe makes no bones about what's happening.
I'm a villain.
Also, what's slightly different as well is I sit opposite you at work, and your screens are slightly apart.
Yes.
So I can see your eyes. And so sometimes we play Overwatch, look at you, and you're like, very far away look in his eyes.
So that is the award for the game with a Talking Gorilla, Robot Ninja, and Brazilian DJ, and a British lesbian goes to Overwatch.
Do you think it's the best thing of the year? What's the best thing of the year?
It is a beautiful, positive,
it's so
happy.
Interesting to say that, because we're about to go over to a literally called the best things ever. Not just the best things of the year, Joe.
Fair play.
The best things ever.
None of which are Overwatch.
None of which are Overwatch.
But I think it might be the best thing ever.
I think it's my my favourite bit of media of the year?
I think it's such a happy, joyous, beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think
most
it might.
Most enjoyed bit of
media.
Absolutely. I think it is.
Yeah,
it's nothing close to that.
Arrival came close in terms of like just sheer, like,
but
fuck
you've put more into Overwatch, though, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But necessarily.
Daniel, I'm going to start with you.
You see all, like, you go to his flat, he's got loads of these circle ink blocks. Yeah. I am communicating.
I know someone who's got one of those commissioned as a, like, a Christmas present, and it looks incredible. And
that's
it makes
a
me
really,
really
nice present. That's too good
so
a present.
Yeah.
That is good. Do you know what isn't a good present? I saw someone do before, and I think it's awful. It's getting
your favourite song as a waveform frame.
Oh, fuck,
do you know
that.
Yeah. Do you know who did that?
No.
Someone we used to work with.
Who's it?
Someone you sat next to.
Bearpark! Bearpark's a sweet guy, so he would get that done.
You can get that look on. At you.
I think it's fucking awful.
You can get that on Not on the High Street. You can just get it custom
anything,
done.
Anything you can get on the fucking Not on the High Street, don't buy. Best things ever.
What are you going first? I'm going. One of my favorite things this year I've seen.
We should explain that these are things that aren't TV movies or
they're ridiculous.
Games. Yours is a movie. To be fair,
Mine's a movie.
Well, they're just funny things that have stuck with us and become.
Yeah,
like my thing is generally like the thing that I've watched probably
that,
most.
Things I think
and
of,
I love
things I think like of more. Frequently. Yeah. This is like, the thing I think of frequently.
Okay,
so in Suicide Squad, which is a big dog shit of a movie,
I think it's alright.
It's fine.
It's alright.
It's bad.
It's a two-star film. It's a two-star film.
No, I think it's a one-star film. Like, anyway. It's poor. Anyway, you saw it in the best circumstances. It's an absolute...
Off our fucking bumps.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I watched it at 9:30 in the morning.
Gav Hussley, that's more booze.
It barely makes sense. Like, it's proper dog shit.
You watched it at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sober. Oh, it's properly bad.
Christ, yeah, we would have hated it if we saw it at 9 o'clock in the morning.
It's dog shit. And there's there is a moment in that movie that makes me laugh, and even now in times of sorrow and misfortune, I think about it, and it brings me a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
And it is late on in the movie. It's been established. Killer Croc. He's in the movie. He's a man. He's also a crocodile. He can breathe. he can breathe underwater. Like, he lives in a cell that's been adapted so he can also submerge himself entirely.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, there's a plot point where somebody has to go into some water, and he's like, "I've got this." And
but before that, though, they literally the Marines are discussing who's going to go into the water.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's literally standing going, "What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about going into the water?"
I know my tracksuit is velour, but I don't mind it getting wet.
Yeah. He's going to go in.
It's like, that's
purple.
It's like him.
He's like Zap Brannigan.
You know what that's like? It's like him.
Zap Brannigan on his day off.
But it's also like him, like, at school when he comes in his pajamas to do swimming.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's the mission? You need to get this rubber brick from the bottom of this thing. He's like, I can do this. And it's established throughout the movie, he's very humanoid.
Yeah.
Like, he walks on all fours. He walks on two legs. And at this moment in time...
Oh, someone's not a human.
And at this moment, he just gets down on all fours and scuttles into the water with his bum wiggling in the air.
Yeah. Like someone impersonating a dachshund.
And I can't believe...
But it's a
somebody
man.
Didn't watch the rushes and go... That's ludicrous.
Well, it's a man impersonating a crocodile getting into water.
Someone told a professional actor to do that.
Yeah.
Mr. Echo.
It's Mr. Echo, yeah.
But that's mad.
It's insane. Like,
absolutely fantastic.
And you're right. It's the context around that action more than the action itself that makes that funny. Like, it's unbelievable
it's so
that it ever happened.
Hilarious. I remember being in the screening at, like... By that time, it would be like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
just bursting out laughing.
Yeah,
and laughing for a good 3 minutes.
If you think you laughed at it, imagine us on 6 pints watching.
We lost our minds.
But that's the best way to see that film.
You told us to watch out for it as well.
That's the best way to watch that movie.
Top
secret information.
If that was a
binder.
Yeah, called top secret.
That is one of the funniest.
That's the thing. That to be fair, like your Killer Croc thing was our top secret thing. So basically, there's a folder in the film that says top secret on it, and it's kept in the lady who
just a bag. Just the lady's handbag.
Which I'm pretty sure is marked top secret.
And it sticks out the top.
Yeah. And they're like, what is this?
It's so fucking stupid.
Which is really
But
good.
If Suicide Squad was a better film, that Killer Croc moment would be looked at in the same way that Jeff Goldblum with his shirt open is in Jurassic Park.
But that's
you know when people see
that? That's an illusion, though, isn't it?
Hey, there's what a bit... To be fair...
Well, it's the creation of man by Michelangelo.
Okay, but...
That's what that is, though. Like,
but it's still ludicrous and hilarious.
It is ludicrous.
It's a mad decision.
They've gone for a reason. It's not accidentally...
I actually think that... I think the Goldblum thing is bulletproof. I don't think it's the same thing as the...
It's very funny and very incongruous. The idea...
It's hot,
like,
though,
imagine the person who went, let's have Jeff Goldblum with an injury redo Michelangelo.
Oh, no, it's bonkers.
Like,
I'm not saying it's not bonkers, but yeah, you're right. Like, it's they've earned the way... They've earned that moment.
You would look back on it with more fondness than incredulity if that was a better film around.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that.
It's a funny decision.
Okay, so I feel like I'm going to do mine next because the last one is all three of us.
Yes.
But I'm going to say, like, one of the best things, like, I genuinely think one of the best things ever this year was a tweet that someone did, which was, like, very, very small bit. I don't even know where the documentary is from. I don't care. But it's a documentary.
You might want to find it. There might be more of it.
Oh, can you imagine? But it's basically about Studio Ghibli's Miyazaki, not Dark Souls Miyazaki. Different people. That's basically like Jones over there. Like,
why sounds too Welsh?
Because it is. Because it's a very well-known name. But it's basically him sitting down in a small animation studio, and they've got Miyazaki and they've got another person from Studio Ghibli in, and they're presenting them with this cool thing that they've made. They're presenting them with it, and his reaction. They obviously think that his reaction is going to be like, oh, dude, this is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
His reaction is not. It's like, basically, if all dude, this is fucking brilliant is like here, like what his reaction is a million miles on a different planet, in a different galaxy, in a different universe.
On fire.
Like, and it's on fire and it's covered in sick. Shit.
And it's literally the most preeminent person in that industry in history. Like, so you're this an animation. The most important
Walt Disney's dead.
So you're working in animation. You're showing it to the person who's like top of that game. It's like you working in rap and showing it to Nas.
50 years.
Like,
I think that's undermining
Nas's achievements. Like,
yeah.
You were gonna get that one.
Yeah.
But it's basically like, you know, the person you want most to have an attaboy at off. And what happens is not an attaboy.
No. Should we say, like, we should say what he says? Because
it's not a spoiler. I think, no. To be fair, like, it's spoiler for films, games, and TV. I don't think
it's a minute and a half long tweet
so,
video.
But what's, for me, what's.
You imagine
what,
someone's like, fuming, absolutely so, fuming.
I got a minute in.
since it brings to life for people, what I love about it is, so it's such a considered takedown.
Yeah.
And it starts off quite. Interestingly, you don't know if it's going to be negative.
So what they're showing is, I mean, it does look shite, to be honest. It's basically it's a lump of gravy browning moving around on the floor.
This is why you're on Miyazaki's side in this, because you don't understand the craft.
So
it's procedural animation.
Just like Pete then.
Yeah, okay. But it's like, it's a lump of gravy browning on the floor.
So what
it's waiting around. And so, literally, if you saw that in the street, I would go up and kick it in the head. I'd be like, that needs to die.
So nobody's listening to this knowing what we're on about. So there's it's like a ragdoll body. It's physics AI, like a bit of physics.
It's deep learning AI.
Yeah.
Like it's genuinely incredible programming. They've created an AI that has worked out how to move with a humanoid body.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the way it's decided to learn to move is by using its head.
But they've said, oh, this could be applied like in a horror game. Yeah. Or something like that.
So their end game is to make a thing that can draw like
No. This is the weird thing about that clip for me. So they say that.
Because that's not what the clip is.
Well, that's the thing. That's the weird thing. It's like they pitched the initial thing, which is like this bit of like horror tech.
Yeah.
You can use in a horror game. And Miyazaki then comes in and it's very considered. And we've used this as a byword for criticism in the office. You've done like an idea. He goes, I know. He goes into this like very considered bit of description about his friend who's disabled.
He says, I've seen it so many times. He says, every morning, not for in recent years, but I used to go visit my friend who had a physical disability every day.
And he can't even high five.
He can't even high five, and that's upsetting to me. But the person who's made this has never known real pain.
Yeah, and he goes, I think this is an insult to life itself.
Fundamentally misunderstanding the entire project. Like, I am so against Miyazaki.
That's the line, though. I think this is an insult to life itself. And at this moment, the guy pans from Miyazaki to this jabroni who's done this key point. And he just looks like helpless. He just like pats his face.
Also, he thought going in, he's texted his girlfriend on the way in going,
Zenimi
Ozaki today, here we go, gonna get wanked off in a boardroom because I've made this fucking slug monster. This is gonna be great.
Slug monster?
the fucking creative spirit in a way, the reason I got into this bullshit in the first place is basically gonna suck me off in front of all my mates. He gets in and he goes, I know, this is an insult to life itself. Power showed me a meme yesterday that he'd made that's going up on Friday, and he goes, can you have a look at this? I put it on top. I watched it, I just went, I know. And like, Power's fucking lost his mind.
But then what I think is almost weird about that whole thing is he does that, he puts the guy down, he goes back to the guy, he's just like, well, we didn't mean that. And then the other guy from Ghibli goes, so what are we trying to do with this project? And out of nowhere, this other jabroni says, we're trying to make a machine that replaces people who can draw. Why are you saying that to them?
Yeah.
Don't say that to them of all the people.
Their reaction is like, are you? You fucking make an eye.
But what's the cutaway?
Exactly. It cuts away to Miyazaki. Drawing. All he says, he's drawing. He's just like, I firmly believe we're coming towards the end of time.
We've lost our way as humans.
So weird. Like,
but it's just like, whatever you are,
no one's overreacting in this situation.
The most hopeful, like, beautiful creations that are, like, of recent history are Studio Ghibli. And the guy who makes them is like, we're all fucked because no one's as cool as me.
It's like, yeah. Anyone seen that other film that my son made? Yeah. Absolutely. End times.
Guys, whatever, people at home, like, whatever you do as a job, imagine doing whatever you do as a job, going to your boss and being like, all right, or going to someone who's like, you know,
your hero. It's more than just your boss.
Going to the person who's like number one in your field of work.
Like the greatest dad in the world.
And you go to them, all right, I've made this thing. What do you think about it? And that man says to you, while he's looking in your eyes, this is an insult to life itself.
He looks from your work to you. He draws a line.
Yeah.
And he literally says,
not only that there's a camera on you as well, but he says, this is an insult to life itself.
What, you like this?
I think it's one of the funniest.
But you think it's funny, you think it's out of order, though.
I genuinely don't think it's out of order.
It makes me furious watching it because he so fundamentally misunderstands what
it
is.
That's imagine not Miyazaki's fault, though, because it's been pitched to him as
someone says that to me.
No,
exactly,
it's because he's a fucking codger who doesn't understand computers. He's only ever drawn shit with his hands. Now he's making CG in his dotage.
Yeah,
bollocks.
I think it's fine.
Get rid.
I think it's fine.
I hate
it. No, because like,
I think it's
what if someone did that to
Miyazaki?
What if someone said that to Miyazaki 50 years ago? They wouldn't have understood his style. No big fan of you know what Cruz, not big fan of Porco Rosso. Shit, what is it? Flying Pig.
Porco Rosso is an absolute pile of shit.
You should say, do you think it's a pile of shit or an insult to life itself?
That's different.
It's different. I mean, there's some merriments we had in right. Flying Pig.
So that's our second award for the best thing ever this year. And I mean that ain't getting beat next year.
What?
Don't know that.
Unless Miyazaki goes and watch some other shit he done like. Imagine him in a restaurant like, what's this?
You know what?
What was your intentions with his sandwich?
You know what I'd love to see? Miyazaki on Miyazaki. Show Dark Souls to...
He'd hate it. Imagine the zombie dragon.
Although, to be fair, I bet they were going out. Do you reckon they went out and they were like, I thought it was the other Miyazaki you were bringing in.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You sent me that clip. You said it's Miyazaki, and I started watching it. I thought it was going to be Hidetaka because it's like it seems more appropriate.
What if Japanese people are just as racist as us? And they were like
against themselves.
Like, the animation studio is like,
that's wrong one, isn't it?
Like we want to meet him with Miyazaki. And they were like, the guy's like, I fucking know him. Like, my sister's married to him. Absolutely fine. I'll bring him in now. I'll bring him in tomorrow. Get all your shit ready. Brings him in. He's like, oh, we meant the other one.
Just feel like that.
And they were like,
well,
we've got him
here
now. We've got him here. Like, do you want to show him anyway? He's like, it's not really his thing, though, is it? Like, he likes to draw with pencils and shit. Like, we do a computer zombie gravy monsters. Like, what should we do? Should we send him away? He's like, I've made him a cup of tea now, so I'm not sending him away. You send him away because you're editing.
This is not going badly. Who's filming it? I'll film it.
He's like, fucking hell, Phil. I'll put it on, be the best tweet that IGN has seen this year.
So guiltiest laughter goes to us.
Yeah, I think if you
like the misery of others, definitely check that out.
If you Google Miyazaki epic takedown.
It is really funny, don't get me wrong. I don't like Miyazaki in it at all.
And I think that's where I want to be. Okay, so the best thing ever this year, then. Forget all the other awards that we've given out this year. And the best thing ever goes to a video. I didn't even check if it was out this year. I just put it on the list.
We saw it this year, so it's fine.
It was
the
thing that most affected our team in a visceral way.
And it's a video of a man in America who thinks that he's seen some aliens.
I'm gonna look it up now because keeps getting taken down off YouTube, but I found a new link.
Why is it getting taken down?
I think it belongs to someone.
It's not racist. You know why? Government don't want us to know.
They call it a damn news.
What we need to do is, though, make this very easy for people listening to find, because I struggle finding it when I want to watch it. Yeah. Which is like every day.
Long searches. Maybe we can
We'll do a thing on the news story, maybe. We'll be like,
We'll embed it.
That's a good idea.
We'll embed it.
Why not? Do what I want.
If you take it down tomorrow.
Here we go. So the current best link for this video is called Guy Freaks Out Over Alien Invasion.
That's not easy to find.
It's got 3,287 views at time of recording.
It's never gone properly viral, has it?
Well, like, I think it has, but I think it was designed, because it's very square, I think it was an Instagram video.
Right.
Okay. I think that's where it's blown up, and then it's been ripped and put
people
on.
Have stolen it. Okay, right. So it's basically a man freaking out because he thinks aliens are coming to the world.
So it's filmed on a phone, and he's looking at the sky, and there's some mysterious lights in the sky. And what you get is this very audible commentary over what's happening. It's brilliant commentary. It's second by second. He's living and dying in those words.
Every single thing he says is a separate quote that we have said in the office.
So like, also, I think the context of why we love this so much is very situated where we were when we first watched it together, and it's very funny. So we were all at Gamescom in Germany in August, and I think you find it first?
Rory found it.
Rory. And then we started watching it in the room that we were all working in, like with our American colleagues. And we watched it all together, and we watched it several times, very loudly.
Bear in mind, this is the same day that the fucking Metal Gear Survive trailer dropped. And all the, like, we'd already seen the trailer, but like everyone was like freaking out watching that trailer. Mm. And we were like, yeah, it's pretty good. Cut to 20 minutes later.
Aliens!
There's a dude who's seen some aliens going mad. And we are reacting to that better than the Americans have reacted to Metal Gear.
We were in hysterics. And I think they were looking at us going,
why are they? Why are they in it? Are they with us? It's security.
Are they allowed to drink our Fanta?
Yeah. They've had too much Fanta.
And then also, I remember later on in the evening, like on one of the last days when we were out in the central square of Cologne getting hammered, and then we were watching on a phone, drinking cocktails.
Yes.
And just saying it, like screaming it.
We'd had we should point out, we'd had long evenings, like for 3 days.
Because we work the hardest.
We do work the hardest. And we play the hardest. The most. And watching
working.
That.
It's networking.
Like to just.
With each other. But
to just stronger team. Who's stronger? Our team, your team.
Who's seen the aliens video most?
That's absolutely the case.
I know.
But just to like. So just like destroyed brains. Yeah. Like it's just the greatest thing. Like it's so good.
That's the thing. Like, we probably did that week on. Maybe like 6 hours sleep.
You did.
6 hours.
You did some insane. Do
you remember like in that week?
Do you remember? Oh, the answer is no.
Going to the little petrol station in Cologne, opposite the hotel.
We were buying beers
before we bought them.
Yeah, we talked about this on the Gamescom podcast. We don't need to go over again.
Did we? Oh, okay, fair enough.
We did.
But again, I think that helps the mindset. So you watch this video, it's the greatest video ever made. If you want to really get the full boot of that video,
imagine
do all that. Go
shouting at a young German shopkeeper, are you fucking high, bro? As if like the American...
That's actually another good moment of 2016.
Yeah, write that down.
That's my fourth highlight.
Is that before Killer Croc?
Should we listen to some of it?
No. People can listen. Let them enjoy it. Let them enjoy
it. Guy freaks out over Alien Invasion.
Yeah, it's genuinely one of the best
in the story.
Find it. Show it your family over Christmas.
And that is the IGN UK 2016 awards. I mean, if this is how the Oscars started, next year we should be in tuxes.
I would actually love to have worn tuxes. Apart from the
heat. That jumper's too hot. Oh, yeah, we need to put the aircon on next year.
What we could do is do that thing where we like, well, you
Maybe I can't either. But I was going to say, trousers. Like, I wear, like, tux top, nothing bottom.
Shorts. Just have a tablecloth on this.
Not nothing, yeah. Shorts.
Nothing. Nothing, Danielle. But thank you very much for listening to the IGN UK podcast in 2016. There's another podcast next week. None of us are on it, so skip that. Go to maybe the one after.
No. I know.
Listen to that. But guys, before you go.
What?
What are you?
I genuinely thought that was it.
Yeah, I thought it was it. I really need a wee as well.
That's going to inject some nervous tension.
My pen doesn't work.
I literally forgot about it until I looked at the page.
Yeah, all right.
This year, I introduced a game called Keyword Countdown.
Is it only this year?
Yeah, it was only
this year. Feels like it's been around forever.
You haven't been here a year.
No, I know, but I thought it'd been around for a long time before I joined.
It's one of those games. It's one of those games. It's one of those games that's so good.
Chess and Mahjong.
Okay, so I invented a game called Keyword Countdown. Mm. And basically, there are a bunch of weird keywords on IMDb. Mm. That refer to different films.
You always call them crazy keywords.
Yeah, crazy
and
keywords.
You call them weird. Yeah. That's working. It's really put me off.
You haven't got your pat down.
I am pissed. I need a pee. So every week what I've done is I've taken 10 keywords for 5 different films and I've tasked you guys and everyone else in the office with guessing what those films are.
Mm.
The game has been
rip-roaring success.
Warmly
In some parts, considered.
Received. That's what I was looking for. Although, to be fair, listen to the day.
I warmly considered.
Was that the email we got this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what was that about?
I don't get fucking feedback. I genuinely get feedback because I'm sure you can understand why. But Alicia was like, oh, Gav, have you seen this IGN UK feedback?
Don't tell him.
As you know, Alicia, I don't, because we've had many conversations about why I'm not allowed to have it. And she was like, oh, listen to this one. I skip Keyword Countdown every week. Thank you.
Don't say that. I was like, don't get that in your head.
It was literally in the morning as well. I was like, oh, cheers.
Day's done.
I've got to do the last one today.
That's 9 hours of my life that is going to be spent inside my head going, yeah, you are shit though, aren't you? Like Alicia said. Anyway, Alicia, don't read out horrible stuff about me.
Guys, worst thing of the year, that guy.
Worst prick of the year, that guy. Okay, here we go, guys. So this, to be fair, you guys have been top. You guys are the best performers all the way through. Joe is like really far ahead.
Is he?
No, but only in points. In average, I think Krupa's still ahead of me.
We can't do average,
otherwise the person who plays the most wins.
I'll give you a little breakdown. So, Joe, you've played 10 times. Mm-hmm. Krupa, you've played 7 times.
Okay.
So it's not actually that bad.
Okay.
Your film's guest, Joe, you've guessed 28.
Mm-hmm.
Krupa, you've guessed 13.
Okay.
Ooh.
Points is 131 to Joe. Krupa, 50.
Ooh.
Okay. If I'd had more time, I would have worked out an average.
That's a lot.
But
I've done all right there.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
But I'm basically going to say, because you guys are the top,
I'm happy for this to be a decider.
Whoever wins this.
No, that's unfair. Champion on the season. Okay.
What do you mean it's unfair? What, it's just the man who organises the tournament.
It's playoffs. It's playoffs.
This is the playoffs. You guys have both made it in the playoffs. This is the Super Bowl.
That's not a playoff, is it? That's over a season.
This is the Super Bowl of Keyword Countdown. Film number one.
I'm going to sack you.
Neo-noir.
Blade Runner.
Conspiracy.
Mm. LA Confidential.
Oh, Inherent Vice.
Falling Off Balcony.
Vertigo.
Profanity.
Fuck. Neo-noir. Off Balcony.
Armcast.
Oh, God. Fugitive. Seven Psychopaths.
Sense of Smell.
Ah!
Disposing of a Dead Body. Enemies Become Allies.
Oh.
Private Investigator.
Nice Guys?
Yes.
Oh. I haven't seen that film. What's the sense of smell about?
I'm telling you.
That pen's
for so me. These are Gab's favourite films of 2016.
You're writing nothing.
That's right, I can see. Two
He's
Joe.
Etching.
Two Joe. I know, my pen's gone. What am I going to do? Walk away? No, I'm a professional, Daniel. I'll deal with it later. Do a fucking pencil thing on it. Well done, Joe. That's 2 points to you.
Film number two. New York City. Hit in the groin. Obscene finger gesture.
What?
Selfie stick.
Oh, Big Short?
Face slap. TV news.
Good morning.
You need to be calling damn news.
Bare-chested male.
What is this?
Paranormal phenomena.
Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well done, Joe.
He's on it.
They're not my favourite films of the year, by the way.
Okay. They're films from 2016. Surely.
I've got to do it deep, otherwise a pencil.
I gotta do it deep.
Okay. Film number three.
You ever do it
sorry,
deep?
Yeah. I should say the other ones. Film number one, private investigator, porn industry. Film number two, paranormal phenomena, ghost hunting equipment, feminism.
Feminism. Is feminism.
Here we go. Film number three. Cyber warfare.
Independence Day resurgence.
Cryptography.
Arrival.
Responsibility.
The Imitation Game?
One word title.
Imitation.
Character name in title.
Snowden.
Sign language.
Snowden. Yes. Oh.
Shit.
Joe's on it, man.
Well done, Joe. It's 5 points for that, Joe.
Yes.
But remember, Cooper, he's only got 10 points. So literally, by getting the next one, you go level.
Okay.
Absolutely fine.
The next clue.
Fucking a lot of pressure on one word, isn't it?
Okay. Film. Oh, I'll go through the rest of them, sorry. Clue number six, sign language. Abuse of power. Spying.
Spying.
Divisive issue. WikiLeaks.
Divisive issue.
That's clue number nine.
That's almost all films.
That's clue number nine. You can tell I had a B at that point. I was like, it's divisive.
Cumberbatch played Assange in a movie, didn't he? I remember.
Yes.
What's that called?
Goggle Eyed Freak.
No one cared about that film.
Australian.
Anyway.
Okay.
Just want to make sure I imagine that.
Film number four. Sea Battle. Voice over narration. Adopted brother. Forgiveness.
It wasn't the new 300, was it?
Stadium.
Is that this year?
Sword and sandal.
And her?
Yeah.
Bollocks.
Well done. Pen's working! And we started talking about God.
How is that your first thought?
That's mad, because that pen has not worked.
To be fair,
I
can attest.
Wow. Sword and sandal. Wow. Leper colony. Reference to God. Jewish. Pontius Pilate.
Is that how you've spelt Pontius Pilate, or is that the keyword?
That's me.
Okay.
How do you spell it?
Oh, it's not like that.
Isn't it?
No. He's not an actual pilot. He doesn't fly planes.
Well, he is there.
You should go to church more, baby.
Baby.
Come with me.
Me too.
Hey, okay, baby.
So, it's 10-5.
Oh, if you get six or more, you win.
Yeah, six. You
is this the last one?
It's the last one.
Oh, I really need a wee as well.
Super, I really need a fucking piss. Don't worry. Well, as soon as we end this, we're going.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sanguine.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Film number five. And what I'll do, right? Because I don't want it to come down to...
You better not say it's double points.
No, I won't do double points. Oh, actually, should I...
No!
No, just...
Should I tell you where the link is?
No.
No.
That's
no.
Fine. It's more drama than just doing this one.
Okay, if you guys can tell me the link afterwards.
It's more pure keyword.
Down to it. If you get five, then one of you will tell me the link.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's beautiful. Okay,
that's pure keyword.
Even better.
Don't change the rules for the final.
Okay, I respect you. Yeah, yeah. That's why you're a good component. Opponent.
Component in the equation.
So it sounds like you're saying that to me. I'm not, because Dale's editing this. film number five. Oh, actually, I'll give you the things of this. Oh, I'm so pissed.
Are you really?
Yeah.
How much have you had?
I feel a bit as well.
Two beers and whatever I've had of that. Okay, big beers though.
I'm a big boy.
I do, come on, I'm reading this week.
Sword and sandal, leper colony, reference to God.
You've already read these. How pissed are you?
Oh, yeah, that's nuts.
Jesus Christ.
If you piss yourself, that's on you.
I'm not pissing myself.
I'm a human. Okay, film number five. Coup number one. Danger.
Moana.
Fuck off.
Assassin.
Assassin's Creed.
Spy.
Oh my god, I'm so glad that wasn't right.
Missile.
Missile?
Male rear nudity.
Oh, wait. Spectre.
Thick accent.
Bridge of Spies? No, that was last year.
Spectre this year?
No.
Infection.
Infection?
Arms dealer.
I've lost it. Sorry.
I don't know what this is.
Toilet humour.
What?
Brothers.
War dogs?
Remember as well, if none of you guess them, that is the best way the keyword countdown can go for the podcast, because everyone at the home is now shouting out, Brothers Grimsby or Grimsby.
Oh, I would never have thought of that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad
for that.
I love that you are pissed because you just went, remember, if you don't guess the answers, that's the best it can go for other podcasts.
I think it's more than I need a week. But anyway, yeah, so 10-5, that ends, guys.
Fair play, Joe.
It's been a good year.
Well done.
The Super Bowl of Keyword Countdown is over.
It ends in the way that the feedback listeners like least. I have been told that whenever I'm on it, Keyword Countdown's boring. So.
But thank you very much for listening to the IGN UK podcast in 2016, and there'll be a lot more in 2017.
Fuck bye. You. I'm a winner.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.